If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
I think this is the sincerest compliment I can pay to the people I'm sharing company with right now. And stick with me on this.
Good morning, Sam.
I did not want to do this show this morning. I love my job. I'm grateful almost every single day to get to do my job, to get to do this job, because it's not really hard work and it's fun and we get to talk sports with our friends and all that stuff. But last night, I was hurt. I was feeling pain. I wanted to get really drunk and pretend that sports don't exist. And I didn't want to have to get up this morning and talk about sports that hurt me over the weekend. And 2 hours in, like, I'm so glad that I'm here. This has been therapeutic. I'm in a good mood this morning. You guys have put smiles on my faces. I didn't get drunk last night because I knew I had to do this morning, and I'm glad about that right now. and then Sam walks in, and it elevates my mood even more.
I told you it was going to make us happy. We had 2 hours of
doldrums. You're not really that cheery of a guy. Why do you cheer me up so much, Sam?
You just had vacation, though, right?
It's my aura. He's a high vibe guy.
You just had some downtime, though, right?
You're a high vibe.
You're refreshed. You're ready?
Yeah. All good, man.
It's wonderful.
Coming off the first career Thanksgiving hosting.
Oh. How'd it work? How'd it go?
Did you carve a turkey?
Yeah, like we nailed it.
Did you?
Did you carve the turkey?
I carved one of the two.
Is that your first carving job ever?
For reasons that elude me, I did two turkeys, basically the same size, and one took 2 hours longer than the other one. No idea what happened. Same brine. Butter in the pan.
They're both in the same.
So you had a big Thanksgiving if you did two turkeys.
Yeah.
What's that? You had a big Thanksgiving if you did two turkeys.
Yeah, I think there was 14, 15 of us.
Yep.
Something like that.
Yep.
Had you ever carved a turkey?
No.
And you did a good job on it?
Never smoked a turkey, never cooked a turkey.
You're a grown-up man right now.
And it turned out good, huh?
I feel like...
You nailed it.
I did it. Yeah.
Isn't that a good feeling?
Yeah.
I never smoked a turkey before either. And we did a turkey. We had 25 people. And my wife... It's not enough for me, by the way, either. My aunt and uncle maxed out at 40 in their house at one point. And I don't think I'm ever going to get there. But... my wife roasted one, and she always does. Like, the smell, I don't understand.
You may get to 40. You keep having kids.
Well, I'm hoping that we're done with that.
There's only one way to really be done with that.
I know. But I will say this. When I got home last night for the sporting game, and that one just hurt and so on so many levels. Yeah. What was in front of the team, and then, like, doing what I do with the team, you develop like personal relationships with a lot of the guys, and so you hurt for them because you know how much they put into it and how much it matters to them. You hurt for the fans and like the 21,000 people that showed up and went nuts and were there. Patrick Mahomes is there. George Brett's there. It's just like it's all there, and then so I'm hurt. And I go home, and my 2-year-old son, who doesn't care about that at all, played a game of hide and go seek with me when I got home, and just listening to him belly laugh cheered me up and made me forget about everything for about 30 minutes, and then he went to bed, and then I was all depressed again.
You know who I felt bad for yesterday? I felt bad for you.
Well, you should feel bad for me because I was very hurt.
I know you were. I felt bad. I felt bad for you.
That was very hurtful to me, but that's what sports do. They hurt us sometimes.
They make you happy, and they break your heart. I hosted Thanksgiving for a few years because my dad had a hand surgery or something, and now they've taken it back. So I think that is because I must have messed the turkey up or something. I don't know. Maybe they haven't said it. You know, you just didn't do a very good job, but my dad had crushed the turkey this year. It was great, so...
Never even considered having you do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a sign.
He didn't say, hey, would you like to come carve the bird, Todd? Let's do this. No, he just did it. I did a really good job of cleaning up and, you know, stuffing the dishwasher.
The biggest thing for me, I carved the turkey this year, but usually my father-in-law guides me through it because he's like the turkey carving master. And he wasn't there this year, and so I had to kind of take the training wheels off and do it myself. And that was a little bit of pressure. That was a little bit, right. But I did it. I think I did a pretty good job.
Step up, man.
Isn't it awesome?
When your team needs you.
Feels good. Like, hey, you know what? You've become a man now, Sam. Exactly. You've hosted Thanksgiving, exactly. And you pulled it off.
You're a big boy now.
Did you know that Todd Lebo has a tattoo in his nether regions?
I think people know this. I guess
no one knows. No, if Jake and I don't know, see, like if I didn't know it, that means nothing.
Why would
like,
I know what your nether?
It's not nether. It's just like right here. It's a dumb
it's
tattoo.
But, hey, swimsuit parts.
Swimsuit.
Well, it's not.
It covers
it's not
your
really,
swimsuit. Like, your swimsuit covers.
Yeah,
your
but
your
it's. I think if you went to.
Like Brazil swimsuit?
If you went to the like doctor and said, where did this person touch you? It's not exactly a swimsuit part. Okay, let's not. This is going too far. But
show me on Todd Lieber's body where the man touched you. And he's like, right on the tattoo. And he's like, actually, that's okay. Right.
Anyway, the point is the point that we were making earlier when I guess I exposed this to everybody was.
We didn't
I
really
have my student sweatshirt on, and your school
it.
Is your school, and I went to the University of Oklahoma. I'm not just a fan. I went to college there. I graduated from there. I love my school, and if Lincoln Riley leaves, he leaves. Whatever. It's still my school.
You're still going to have
this
that
sweatshirt
tattoo.
On, and I can't take the tattoo off. I'll tell you this, tattoo doesn't look as good. As it didn't look great in 1991, and it is faded, even though it never sees the sun. It's not exactly crimson. But it looks like a prison tattoo. That's what it looks like. And I have friends who've seen it and they hate it.
Thank God I came in this morning. I can't believe I didn't want to
you
do
happy,
this show.
But that's the point about colleges and schools. That's what we love. We sure. love our schools. Yeah. And your schools can sometimes do things that embarrass you and make you not like them, right? That happens.
Sam, let's just stop here. We'll get to all that stuff in a second. The important part is this man has a tattoo, and none of us knew about it for 20 years. And the thing is, when he said it, my first thought process was, I'm kind of the
late to the party.
I'm oblivious.
You're late to the party.
I'm oblivious.
You're
that's the late. Word. I like. Sometimes I'm like, wait, what's going on?
Nate's usually about 5-10 minutes late.
Yeah, and
everything.
And so, like, yeah, there's some big current events thing
I
going on.
Think
there.
Some
I'm
people
talking, I'm like,
know
huh?
that here in the building.
And so when he said that, I was like, I'll bet you he's probably mentioned this tattoo 7 times. And I'm like,
I bet nobody knows
how did
that.
I? And then, but then I looked over at Jake. And Jake's look was just like, what my brain was doing. Like, wait, what?
Huh?
And so I knew when Jake looked like that, that this is a secret this man's been keeping from us for 20 years. And he just, it took Lincoln Riley.
Steven knows? I don't
no
know.
No way.
I don't think so.
Why? How? Why?
Well,
why
what happened
know?
Was I was in college and we all.
No. You
yeah,
get that.
I know what happened.
He's a, why does nobody know?
Yeah. Why did no one know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
No. Yeah, but how would anybody have known?
Right.
Because I would who told them. I mean,
never,
I don't run around here with my underwear
that.
Off, okay?
You've
so I
never said it.
I guess I
ever.
Hadn't. But I know my friends know. Some of them at my
we're
neighborhood.
Not friends.
We're not friends, huh?
Nah, wow. I remember.
Nice, wow. Todd.
Man,
nice.
Hurts.
The same friends who want to crash 20. Any Bedlam party to watch and make fun of us. But I don't know. I don't know why. I told you I accidentally... out of my own self in front of my mother like 15 years ago. I'd had the tattoo for years, and I said something.
Clearly not
time.
Something you go around bragging about.
I do, though. It's one of the funny things, you know, as a you know, I'm inked. I'm tattooed.
So tatted up.
I remember when my...
I love this.
When my son was little, you know, you're teaching him to take a shower or something, right? And I remember he reached up and tried to scratch it off my hip. He's like, what's this sticker? It's not a sticker, son. That's a mistake is what that is. Don't go get a tattoo.
This is why you don't make promises when you're drunk in college, son.
Now,
this is...
now then my daughter has a tattoo. She has a tattoo of the planets on her foot. And
all
I,
of
she,
them?
Yeah, well,
is
no
Pluto.
Pluto.
On
nah,
it?
She's
not a
Pluto,
planet, right?
She's a Pluto denier. So when she turned 18, she says, I want to get a tattoo. And I'm not outing her because it's on her foot. I mean, if she wears sandals, people see it. And she, like, it was her 18th birthday.
Pluto,
and you know.
Why isn't it a planet?
It's a planet.
Because it doesn't, I don't know, it's not in a BCS, or it's not a Power 5, it's an FCS team. Maybe someday it'll go back
D2.
Up. They
Pluto
decided
could
to
go
leave.
Undefeated 3 years Pluto in a row, and it still ain't getting in.
She went to Truman State, so they left the MIAA, it was too hard, kind of like that. Yeah,
oh,
they went
wow.
down to Great Lakes College, but she was 18, she goes, I'm going to go get a tattoo, and she wanted like me to take her, I said, no, you go do this, it's on your own money, whatever. Anyway, so I guess, I don't know why I got a tattoo. I know why, I said I would get one, and then... You know, this was in the midst of Gary Gibbs and the Sooners losing to Texas over and over and freaking Peter Gardier. But that's the point. The point is you love your school, whether Gary Gibbs is your coach and you can't beat Texas, or Bob Stoops is your coach, or Barry Switzer when I was a kid, or whatever. It's your school. So Lincoln Riley has decided, in my opinion, because Oklahoma did the Big 12 dirty and is going to go join the SEC, and I don't think it was his choice, and this is not making him a coward by not wanting to compete against the best, whatever. But if you can go live in California and make a whole ton of money and make some people happy out there by doing better than 7 wins, and if you can get yourself to the college ball playoff, like when Pete Carroll was there and SC was up and running, and you don't have to go beat your head against everyone in the SEC, I'm not going to fault him for that. It's his life. It's not
seems
his school.
A little cowardly,
but it's not
a smart move.
Here's the
I
deal:
think it's a really smart move.
It's
on his
not
part.
His school.
Can't be both, right?
It's not his school either. That's the thing, and this is what you know. Everyone saw this Alabama rant, this Nick Saban thing. Did you see this thing from his coach's show last week? You know, but making fun of fans, da da da. I think he's mostly telling the truth. But I'll tell you this: I do.
Nick Saban made fun of fans
a little bit. He said, you know, these kids want to win more than ever. I don't think that's the case, because I think sometimes these kids don't care as much about the school as the fans do. Because if they did, they wouldn't leave either. All right, and Alabama, Nick Saban loves Alabama.
Kids opt out and stuff.
I know, and coaches opt out, like Lincoln Riley. This isn't Lincoln Riley's school. Lincoln Riley went to Texas Tech, and it's been his school. He's made millions of dollars, blah blah blah, blah, and all that stuff. But it's not his school. It's
he doesn't have an OU tattoo on his hip.
You know, he does have two dumb dogs named Boomer and Sooner. I guess they'll switch their names to Trojan and Reggie. I don't know what. But
Trojan and
but
Reggie.
I do think Heisman. And whatever, Nick Saban's the greatest college coach of all time. But I do think there are fans who want Alabama to win more than sometimes Alabama players want to win. I do think that's
the
case.
Well, I think
that's
the most invested fan wants to win more than the least invested player.
Right. And generally, if a player wants to win a game, but
there are fans that poison 100-year-old trees because they're so nutso about their school and stuff like that, you know?
I mean, that's my point. And I do
there's
think,
all levels of fandom out
and
there.
And I think maybe it's hard to say that. If you're a player, you want to win the game, but it's not because of the school you're playing for.
Right. Sometimes it is. Like if you're like
Mitch Lightfoot wants to win for Kansas. He dreamed of playing at Kansas his whole life.
This Jared Casey, this walk-on.
But that dude loves
him some Kansas, all right?
Yeah.
He does. I think there are some of those guys, college players,
you want to win
that game.
This is
the best school that I got my offer from. You know, that's what this is. And you grow to love the school over time
maybe you get there eventually. And I loved what Saban said, because I think it's real. I think fans need to take a chill pill sometimes. But that little part, because I don't believe always, because I think fans are too crazy, especially at Alabama, if you've ever been down there.
I think most guys that go to Alabama want to go to the pros. And so that's, I mean, you
now maybe if you grew up in, you know, Alabama, it's been your life.
Yeah. Or whatever.
But the kid who grew up in California, I mean, the Crimson Tide's not his life, but he goes to school at Alabama because he wants to play for Nick Saban and go make millions of dollars. Bro, I get it. But that doesn't mean he wants to win more than whatever. Did Lincoln Riley want to win Bedlam, or did he want to go to Southern Cal?
Hang on a second. We're going to get to that. Do you have any tattoos, Sam?
I don't.
Yet?
No. Yeah. The only tattoos in my family, our 7-year-old had his first basketball game. This was like 3 weeks ago. And the night before, I went to a birthday party. Party favors were temporary tattoos. Mm-hmm. So my guy had just basically sleeves of like cartoon characters.
All of them.
That's
like
pretty legit.
Tank top for the basketball game.
Yeah,
I was.
Did it look good?
He looked like a badass.
Yeah,
he really did.
Better watch out for him.
That's
really
awesome.
11 years from now, could be going.
But that's the only tattoo in the family. Right
okay.
Now.
because this I didn't realize. I knew that we were going to have some juicy stuff with this Lincoln Riley leaving.
Uh oh.
But then when Todd Lebo makes that he's kind of hinted around at it. My buddy Jason.
Are you going to out this guy?
Yeah, I think I can tell. I didn't say his last name.
Jason.
Yeah, I know a lot of Jasons.
Just about to say his last name.
He's a big Oklahoma guy, and he texted me and said, "Hey, I'm getting to listen to your show right now about Lincoln Riley's exodus. I can't help but wonder, and I know that Jason's the same way you are." He's got his group of buddies that he went to college with at OU, and when they all live in different places, and when they watch the game, he probably does. When they watch the games, they text each other back and forth, just like me and my KU buddies do on KU basketball, whatever. I can't help but wonder what Lincoln Riley would have done if OU won Bedlam, and even worse, the Big 12 championship. It's hard to believe this staff actually coached to win on Saturday night, given the circumstances, which may be the biggest indictment. Now makes sense why you send receivers on 40-yard routes every play and single-handedly take your best player Mims out of the game. Todd Lebo, what do you say to that?
I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, I don't think he got a phone call at 8 a.m. Sunday for the first time from Southern Cal and said, hey, would you like to come to California?
Of course not. This has been in the works for a while.
I think.
Of course.
From things I'm hearing, possibly months. I mean, ever since the SEC thing.
There's a difference between sabotaging your game plan and not being fully in.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think he's sending receivers, whatever, like specific sabotaging routes. I don't think a coach can get to that point.
Well, I think they could.
Oh, come on!
I think that there's no question he wasn't fully invested.
I've heard that he wasn't fully invested all year.
Well, you know? There's no... I mean, how could you be?
Name your sources. Who'd you hear this from?
No, can't say it.
Coward.
Is it a good source?
Yeah, I think so.
Someone close to the program? Because you could have heard it from Lawyer Lance.
No,
I mean,
how do you like it when people do this to you?
I hate when people do this to me.
This is too many games of telephone. This is too many people away from anything that's real.
Okay.
Like whispers. And if it just...
What, the
strong
reason,
enough to make a statement.
Yeah, the reason,
I don't think this just came up last week.
Okay, the reason I'm... Because you're right, Jake. I hate when Steve does that to me.
I've seen you squirm in that chair and you're doing that.
I'm not trying to get you to name your source. I'm just trying to say because... Did you hear that from one of your buddies that sits around, or did you hear it from somebody that's at least around?
It's a couple of things away from that.
Okay.
But it's not just... This is not just...
Just you and your buddy sitting around in a bar going...
Chatter.
Like hatching this conspiracy or something like that.
But listen, the college... the world's a dirty place, okay? People in the regular jobs will do someone dirty and say, I'm not going to go take a job somewhere and go take it.
Sure.
It's especially bad in sports. It's especially bad in college athletics. It's especially bad.
There's no honor among
thieves.
You
think it's worse than regular business? I think it's
worse. Well, I don't think some guy who's working at Good Sense is going to lie and say, I'm going to go work at Subway. I think it's worse.
Well, correct.
I think it is because of the differences. Like, Todd Lebo doesn't have a Subway tattoo on his hip. Right? There's probably not that many... I mean, like, I love me some Quick Trip. I'm pretty brand loyal to Quick Trip. I don't get paid to say that or anything, but I'm not getting a Quick Trip tattoo. I don't sit around texting with my buddies about the Quick Trip performances because there's that emotional investment and tie-in to your school, you know? And college coaches benefit financially from that massively.
For sure.
Yet they work back channels on their, Roy Williams, sanctimoniously tells Bonnie Bernstein, I could give a blank about North Carolina. I know some producers in your ear telling you to say, ask me that, but my team's hurting right now. Well, you've been behind the scenes, working your way to North Carolina the whole time those kids you supposedly love so much are hurting inside. But you're going to act all high and mighty that someone would have the audacity to ask you about it. You've been working on it during this whole situation.
No,
right?
That's
like,
true.
There's something to that, isn't there?
Yeah, but I just think I'm not trying to diminish the dirtiness and the the backhanded all that stuff.
You say it's not any dirtier than the rest of the world.
I think the whole world is dirty. Yeah, I mean, I think there's people that run businesses people under them that are raising families and their livelihood depends on a certain and they're doing the same stuff.
We just don't care about it.
I think people suck. That's what I'm saying, man.
Well, people act in their own self-interest.
Yes, people act in their own self-interest.
I remember Dayton Moore telling. I remember had a conversation with Dayton Moore early on in his career, and something was going on, and he just kept saying, at the end of the day, when the chips are down, people will act in their own self-interest.
Yes.
That's how people act. And Lincoln Riley's acting in his own self-interest.
And in my opinion, as a reaction to the fact that wherever, and no one has written the story, the 30 for 30, the total deep dive oral history of exactly what's gone down with Texas and Oklahoma and how the whole thing, what the real germination of going to the SEC was. I can't wait to find out what as close to the truth that we can is. We haven't heard that yet.
Yeah.
This has been pretty quiet about all this stuff. You don't hear, there hasn't been a lot of comments from Lincoln Riley about, oh, we're going to the SEC and all that stuff, because it's always like, hey, we're going to coach our team and do this stuff. Lincoln Riley didn't go to the Chancellor or President Herrod and say, you know what we ought to do? We ought to go to the SEC. I know that didn't happen.
Sure.
But I would like to find out exactly what movers and shakers, someone from the U.S. House of Representatives or a senator or what some dumb big booster or something like that, whoever started that chain of events, in my opinion, has lost them a coach and now has a chance to, you don't know you know, what's in box number two now? Is it Bob Stoops or is it John Blake? You don't know what's next, yeah. right? And they had...
But they're going to get that SEC money.
Exactly, and you're going for the wrong reason.
I know that I'm, like, screaming into the ether on this, but... And I'm, if you accuse me of being biased toward the Big 12 because it's sort of, kind of, vaguely the league that I grew up loving, I would plead guilty to that. But you can't tell me that it's... I think it's better to be in the Big 12, especially for your school, Todd, and get 10%, 20%, whatever, less
100%
money
agree.
Than be in that other league with all these killers.
100% agree. 100%
you don't get to play agree. Kansas. You don't get
and
to
I,
play...
I think Lincoln
hey,
Riley...
Kansas was no easy
Lincoln
game
Riley,
for them this year, Sam. Right.
Lincoln that's Riley right. just have lived this know? For 5 years. He just lived the fact that even though for the last 2 years they have not finished with the best regular season record in the league, and this is the first year they're not going to be in this Big 12 title game, whatever. But he just lived... Listen, they won an SEC game in the bowl game last year against the Florida team who checked out. And they beat Auburn in a bowl game, right, in a game that didn't matter as much. But he got boat raced by LSU in a bowl game that mattered. And they got boat raced by Alabama in a bowl game that mattered. Now, they fought their ass off against Georgia in a game that went two overtimes, one of the greatest games you'll ever see. But you want to do that six times a year out of your eight games? Do you?
No,
I mean, you don't want to do it.
Especially,
so I think he
especially
saw the writing
when,
on the wall.
When making it to the championship game is probably the standard that your school expects from you.
Yes. Exactly.
The
now,
conference championship game I'm talking about.
I do
about.
Believe, and this is what I told people.
So you go win nine games
told,
and you're
when
fired.
When this crap started in July, I told people, I feel confident that Oklahoma is not going to go the way of Missouri or something in the SEC. They would.
Now shots fired at Missouri.
No, now Missouri made two SEC championship games, but they have not sniffed an SEC championship game in a long time. Okay, so I don't think Oklahoma was going to go that way. I think they would be very competitive in the SEC, but they wouldn't win six straight and 13 out of 15 or whatever. They wouldn't do that in the SEC.
They probably wouldn't even make the SEC championship game every year.
But I felt a very good chance that they could be very competitive with Lincoln Riley as their coach. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't know what it's going to be. So it all goes back to don't get in bed with Texas. Be your own person. But maybe Oklahoma started this. I don't know.
No.
I don't think so. I think it was Texas who started it and asked Oklahoma to go along. And they did it because they thought if Texas left the league would suck. And they did, but then no one had confidence in Bob Bowlesby and the people in charge. But I'll give Bob Bowlesby 100% credit. It looks right now like this league's going to be just fine. Now, what if Luke Fickell leaves Cincinnati, and it's not quite as good? I don't know. Maybe Oklahoma should hire Luke Fickell. You know, who knows? They could do way worse than that. But those things could change. I just think all the business crap, and I've said this.
I mean,
in
I love
the last
you, Todd,
10 years,
and I love my buddy Jason,
times.
But I hope you guys get your asses kicked. I hope
well,
you hire a bad coach, and I hope Oklahoma and Texas suck in the SEC for a long
what
time.
What I've been telling people for 10 years is I wish the Big 12 stayed intact from the get-go because Nebraska would be better off. Missouri would be better off. A&M would be
they
better off.
They should have kicked Texas out.
It's a worthless conversation to even start.
But you can't even go backwards.
It's a worthless conversation.
They had a great league. They had a great league in 2010. A great
they did.
League.
They did.
Had
it's
a,
waste
a
my time.
Freaking great league in 2010.
Our good friend Mark Bohrichter weighs in.
How uninterested Jake is in this conversation?
No, he's...
He said his theory is that Lincoln Riley is a front runner and doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to be in the SEC head coach. And
so you're going
to
get a lot of it now. I mean, you just
head
you don't
the
have
Pac-12.
To. You don't have to do calculus on this. Start putting one and one together. This is
I
want to
know
math.
If he threw this game against Oklahoma State.
He didn't throw the game.
Nah,
he didn't throw the game.
No,
I mean, they want to win the game when you're in the game. But why is Brian Darby
bonus,
in the game catching touchdowns?
For
I don't
him
know.
Tell him about the recruiting deadline and all that stuff. Tangible reasons that he needs to get his butt to USC right now.
And all this stuff. Yeah. I mean,
and he's been recruiting kids out there.
California kids.
To
all this
Oklahoma.
Stuff.
He had a vested interest for Oklahoma to lose that game. He coached a game. I'll say it. I'm not saying he threw it.
It's better for him to be
I'm
the Southern
saying,
Cal head coach today than next Monday.
I'm saying that knowing what we know now, that man coached a game, and look, it happens in the NFL. It happens in the NFL where teams have a vested interest in losing, right? Suck for luck, get yourself a good draft pick. Now, they don't always go do it. The competitor in them sometimes makes them go out and want to win. We've seen Major League Baseball teams tank left and right. They've had a vested interest in losing to get high draft picks and more, you know, allocation money, whatever you want to call it, for their draft picks and everything. But this guy That's undisputable now. This man coached a game, a rivalry game that means a ton to his fan base, with a vested interest in losing. His career benefited from his team losing that game. That's a fact, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
That's kind of messed up. I don't know what you do about it.
You got to coach another. And we've seen this happen. I mean, we saw this college, the timing of things that happen in college athletics sucks.
If he threw that game, it'd be worse.
I don't think he threw the game.
No,
but he
I mean, that game, if he wanted to throw that game would not have been close.
The timing of all these things is terrible. It's absolutely terrible because.
Did he try to win the game?
But. Because of how it works, and it's even worse now.
Because of some poor officiating, I think he would have had a really good chance of winning that game.
5 years ago, this would have been awful. Today, it's even worse. Because 5 years ago, signing day was February. But now signing day is 2 weeks from now. So it's even worse now than it was before. We've seen this happen a bunch of times.
You didn't want to be coached at the Big 12 championship game with signing day that close?
Fans will tell you in 98, and this is Oklahoma doing K-State dirty, you know, Bob Stoops got hired the first week of December in 1998, and I know that Mike Stoops and Brent Venables and Mark Mangino knew they were going to go coach at Oklahoma.
Sure.
Well, they coached the
Sir Parker game.
The Sir Parker. Now, were they coaching when absolutely they were coaching to win? Because they wanted to go do that. But are you 1% less?
Yeah.
Is there one thing off your mind? It happens. So in 2003, turnabout's fair play. Oklahoma is playing K-State in the Big 12 title game. Mike Stoops gets named Arizona head coach, but he's going to go coach in this game. Well, they give up 35 points. It's not, you know, this is the worst time for this crap to happen. And it's happening earlier now. For Christ's sakes, Matt Wells got fired a month and a half ago.
We got Lebo cussing now. This is great.
You know, Gary Patterson got fired. They're firing these guys. Clay Helton got fired because they're all trying to, they're moving this stuff earlier and earlier.
Yeah,
but
I still
love my school, and I'm not getting another tattoo. I love my school till I die. I've been embarrassed many times by my school. Many times.
Not me.
They've done. I mean, they were on probation when I got this tattoo. It might have been off probation. Now, they were back on TV.
Questions, were you on probation when you got that
tattoo?
Hell
no, baby. I was rolling through that thing.
Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got Sam Mellinger in studio. It's Donkey Week, Sam.
Yep.
What the hell is going on in the AFC? See West.
No idea. No idea. Except that I think the Chiefs are the best team. And I think that they've established that.
Isn't it crazy how fast that changed?
Yeah. Is it okay that I still don't believe in the Broncos?
Yeah.
You know, they blew out the Cowboys. I get it. You know, they blew out the Chargers. I get it. But I feel like the Cowboys just played terribly. And I feel like the Chargers played like dogs.
I don't believe in any of these teams in the West. They're all 6-5. I believe they're all good enough to beat the Chiefs on a given day.
Sure.
You know, like I
we've seen the Chiefs lose to some teams that are
Yeah. But I feel like the rest of the only team that I thought I believed in was the Chargers. Because they're the only one that I feel like has a quarterback. I mean, Carr's a decent quarterback. He's not terrible or anything, but he's not like
Feel like Derek Carr is exactly what Derek Carr was in that game in Las Vegas against the Chiefs. Derek Carr threw some gorgeous passes in that game. A human being cannot throw the ball better than he did on a few of those snaps. And then he panics.
Yeah.
You get some pressure on him and he'll panic. I feel like that's who he is. And I think Justin Herbert has a chance to be like transcendent. I think he has a chance to be a top three quarterback for a long period of time.
They can't stop the run.
Yeah.
The Chargers.
Yeah.
And they just keep losing games that I think they're supposed to win. And so it is like, to me, the rest of the AFC West is what the NFL wants every team in the league to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Slightly above 500.
Yep.
You know, like, and enough for them, their fan base, to dream that maybe something good could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs are the one team that it's like, yeah, no, they can be great. Can they be great? Can this Chiefs team be great?
I think absolutely. I mean, their timeline.
With the way their defense is playing now?
Yeah, they're behind on the timeline. They're behind on the timeline, but I think, and this started even before Mahomes, I feel like the last year, maybe two, the Chiefs had Andy Reid had adjusted some of the pace of how he lays stuff out, and the Chiefs had been getting better. They knew that they'd be in the playoffs, and they had been getting better. Now, we know what happened in the playoffs there, but I think that the same thing is happening with this team. And I get what the Patriots are doing, but I'm not all the way in on them. Like, I know the six games, and they beat the Chargers, and blew out the Browns, and just blew out the Titans, and that's great and everything. But I want to see what they do against Buffalo. I want to see what they do after their bye. I think that if you just look, and look, Bill Belichick is like just almost a cheat code. I mean, he is one of the biggest advantages that an NFL team has is having that guy as the head coach. But if I just think talent for talent, if you go up and down the roster, I think the Chiefs are in the best position. I would not trade the Chiefs' position right now for anybody else in the AFC. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean they'll be in the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean they'll be in the AFC Championship game. But I think that's where they're at.
One thing about the Broncos is their defense. So we all made fun of the Broncos because they passed on the quarterbacks that were available.
Yeah.
And they drafted defense. They drafted Surtain, right? Wasn't that
yep.
who they took?
Yep. He's a
two picks yesterday.
Yeah.
Pick six.
Yeah.
We all laughed at that. It's just one week, right?
Well, right.
We laughed at the fact that why aren't they drafting a quarterback?
Well, yeah.
I still think they should have drafted a quarterback. Yeah. But if you're going to draft a defensive player,
get one who makes
get
plays.
A franchise lockdown cornerback is a pretty good way to go.
Yeah.
They're going to win with defense. They're going to win with defense.
It looked like they gave up a few weeks ago when they traded Von Miller. And that's the thing people thought, oh, they've given up. They traded Von Miller away. Now, I think the end of that is Von Miller's not going to be great for five more years, right? Von Miller's not some kid now. So they probably did what they thought was best for their organization because you just have to do that. Sometimes you have to make trades that hurt a little bit. But their team has not given up. It was really ugly against Philly.
Top three scoring defenses in the NFL right now, New England, Buffalo, Denver. They have the third best defense when it comes to points allowed in the NFL.
And part of that was
the Chiefs' offense has not been playing great. So
they played some really bad teams early that kind of skew those numbers. But and Dallas didn't look maybe engaged, but they had Dallas shut out at their place for, gosh, three quarters.
It was impressive.
Right? It was very impressive. Yeah. And that was...
You saw the Chargers to 13?
That wasn't Dallas without all their players. That was real Dallas that day, right? So, I was kind of laughing when they flexed the Chiefs-Broncos game out, but the Broncos have made that look like a smart flex with this win this last week. Because this is, if the Broncos win the game, they're in first place.
Yep.
And the Chiefs' offense has not been playing great, right?
No.
Like, it's been this kind of weird thing where it's like they just don't seem like they can get into whatever, fourth gear, whatever gear you're supposed to get into. Like, they just don't seem like they can get into it. Now, they're coming off a bye week, and usually... when they come off a bye week, they tear it up.
And I just, look, I'm hesitant to talk like this because it sounds like Homer, right? It sounds like, well, you're the sports columnist in Kansas City. But I think that this thing is going to start to take traction. And I think, like, the bye week that you just brought up, Nate, how good he is in the division. I understand that they lost to the Chargers, but how good he is historically in this division, and now they got the rest of the schedules loaded in the division. I remember what they did. Look, three or four out of the last 4 or 5 weeks, the offense has stunk, the exception being Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a hard time believing that an offense with the guys that we know
right.
is going to continue to stink. And
right.
I know that we're, past Thanksgiving, the next game the Chiefs play is going to be in December, and it's a little late in the season to be like projecting, but I think that's where this thing is going. And I'm starting to get pulled a little bit to the notion that that they are being held back a little bit by their receiving depth. I'm starting to like get pulled into that notion a little bit, but they still have all these dudes, and they still have, I think, the best offensive mind in the NFL. Leading the way. I think this thing is going to end up, they're going to be, the 17 games have me shook a little bit, but they're going to be 13-4. They're going to be 12-5. I really believe that. And everybody's going to be talking about them as, still the kings of the AFC. I think that's how this thing is going to go. Because I think the defense is more real than the defense's improvement is more real than the offense's struggles.
Yeah. I think we're all on the same page here. We'll take a break. More with Sam Mellinger right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Tell me something to make me feel better about last night with the Sporting game, Sam.
I have nothing for you.
Yeah, I got nothing, buddy.
Better draft pick now, right?
That was frustrating on at least 1,000 levels. Just a lot of, like, we've seen this before. You know, it's everything from they struggle when teams just kind of sit back. They have a hard time, like, breaking through there. You know, the playoff disappointments. You know, they've advanced a total of, is it three times now since 2013? Since they won MLS Cup, they've won three playoff rounds, right? I mean, they're in the playoffs pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm. All but one, right?
10 out of 11 years.
Yeah, but they haven't advanced, and a lot of times have been, you know.
And just home losses are just gut-wrenching.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the last three playoffs, the losses have come at home.
Mm. Yeah.
And, dude, I watched that game on TV, and that place looked so awesome.
Dude,
like, I mean,
it was incredible.
I mean, I felt so bad because you just watching it from home, it felt inevitable. I'm sorry. It felt inevitable.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they played like the team that should have lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they got what they deserved.
Yep. I mean, you know, there's times in every sport, right? But I think sometimes I feel like, especially in soccer, where the better team doesn't get the result that they deserve. But that one, I think Sporting got the result that they deserve. And it was just weird. They just didn't seem as
the step
energetic.
Behind. They were a step behind. Yeah. I mean, every ball, horrible giveaways in the back. I mean, the first half, it seemed like, I mean, Milia had some really good saves early on, and it's like they kept giving up free kicks in the back and corner kicks, and I'm like, geez. Yeah. And then they got the penalty, and it's like that relieved some of the pressure that they were taking on. But it's like, I was almost like, just get to halftime, maybe sort some things out, but then, you know, Real Salt Lake made some fantastic substitutions, and honestly, once they made that first sub, I was like, this is trouble written all over it.
Yeah, you kind of hope that penalty would just sort of shake something loose, that would
okay,
give.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
good. It was kind of like, okay, here we go.
The
now they'll settle down and
front foot and all that, and it just didn't, you know, come back after halftime, and it was worse. I don't get it. I you know, sometimes you can sort of connect dots, and, you know, maybe it's the wrong theory, but you can come up with a theory, and I don't have one for this. It doesn't make sense to me why it keeps happening. I don't know if they get tired. I don't know.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's the hard part of sports, though. You know, you want to win. Only one team wins
thing. It's weird in soccer because it's the hottest team at the end of the year wins.
Top three seeds in the West are all out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like the season is so long. It starts so early. So it's like, you know, you got to get hot at the end. And the hottest team, especially once the format has changed to this, Real Salt Lake is hot. I mean, and they that's a huge momentum builder. You go into Seattle and you win the way they did.
Well, they deserve all the credit. They played two polar opposite styles of play to do what they did in their two playoff games. They deserve a ton of credit for that. They deserve to win the game yesterday. And it's hard to come in. Well, we just mentioned that Sporting has lost three playoff games at home, but not every MLS place is like Sporting Park. They're not all like that. It's not all crazy. It's not all. No. And to do what they did to come in and win, they deserve credit.
And maybe they were spurred on by how great the crowd was.
Sure.
You know, that you hear your players say that I'd rather go play in a place where everybody's going nuts and there's energy in the place than some place that's half empty.
I've heard that. Oh, go ahead.
I just feel it's such a missed opportunity. Yes. It was all there for them. And you just know, as a fan of any sport, that those things don't line up every year. And when it does, it's a kick in the groin when you don't take advantage of it.
It was all there, exactly right. I mean, this team is not going to be, well, who knows? But it felt like this team had a chance to be really special.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen at the end.
Playoff losses are absolute gut punches, especially when you've had the kind of year they had. You know, we lived through this in the 90s with the Chiefs. You're like, how many times are you going to get this chance?
This time we're good enough.
And then,
Yep. Sam, thanks for the time, man.
Yeah,
appreciate it. Congratulations on your Thanksgiving. Nice work. We got Bill Moss coming up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.